year. So come on, let's begin to praise Him. Get on board right now, right before He starts moving in mighty, mighty ways. Let's just really reach out and declare our house, our family is blessed. Come on.
My house is blessed. My family is blessed. My health blessed. Is blessed.
And my wealth,
is blessed. Is blessed.
Oh, my church is blessed.
Is blessed.
My city,
oh,
is blessed.
My nation
is blessed. For my God, He's blessed. Oh, come on, sing it.
My house is blessed. Is blessed and my wealth is blessed.
Oh, my church
is blessed. My city
so
is blessed.
This nation,
my nation,
oh,
is blessed,
it is blessed.
For my God,
come on,
is
declare
blessed.
It today.
My house is blessed. My family, she's blessed.
My health. Today. Come on, if you're at a place where you are perfect and ready to go to heaven, but I don't believe we're all perfect. I believe everybody in here could use something a little greater.
Foundations are shaking.
And this is the promise of God. I'm telling you, when you begin to praise the Lord and worship with your whole heart and your whole mind, things begin to break. And if you need a breakthrough today, come on, lift your hands and begin to declare the foundations are shaking. Every curse is breaking.
The strongholds,
they're falling.
Hey. And greater things.
believing for greater things. Hallelujah. how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity and praise the Lord. The reason we love to worship, it creates this atmosphere where God, it's not that God can't move anywhere, but when you lay aside who you are, when we lay aside who we are and what we're going through to lay it all at the feet of Jesus, it creates an atmosphere where miracles take place. You change the atmosphere with your praise. It changes things. Worship is a catalyst to many things. It opens the door for us to receive the word. It opens the door for you to receive a blessing, for you to receive a healing, for you to receive a word from the Lord. It changes everything. And when we understand that we are so desperate for God and we're desperate for that praise to come in, we'll see victory come. We'll see healing come. We'll see transformation come. I was doing a little study last night. I'm speaking tonight, but it's not on this. But I was doing a little study last night when Jesus was ministering to demon-possessed people. And there's only one time out of all the many, but one experience when Jesus was talking to Legion, the one at the region of the Gennesaret or Gerasenes or whatever by the tombs. Most times the parents would bring a child or they'd come to Jesus and immediately start like, what have I to do with you? Or, you know how demons were, the foaming at the mouth and all that stuff. Immediately. But this guy at the prison, at the tomb, the Bible says he ran to Jesus and he fell down and worshiped. And then he spoke. Somewhere deep inside, he understood when Jesus came, I just need to get a piece of that. He might have been covered with demons upon demons upon demons upon demons, but the Bible says he fell down before Jesus and worshiped. Jesus didn't say, stop, shut up. He received it, and then he spoke to the demon and he freed the man. What we need in this culture, in this church sometimes, is breakthrough praise. When we're struggling with something that we can't figure out and we can't get away from and we can't get it to shake loose, sometimes we just need to see that light at the end of the tunnel, who is Jesus, and say, if anybody can do it, he can do it. If anybody can do it, he can do it. Hallelujah. How many have had that breakthrough praise in your life before? How many would say, I've been there. I've been there in that moment. We have a wonderful couple in this church, Eric Nelson and your wife. Won't you guys come down and meet me down front here? Yeah, don't be afraid. Come on down. I'll meet you guys halfway. How's that sound? Very Jesus-like. You guys just want to stay right there? That's just tons of people around here. This is Eric. So your wife was traveling up here, and she got hit by a deer or something. It was really fast. And from Sanford. So she came up, almost got hit by a deer, almost lost her control, lost her life, but the Lord's here, got better plans for that. And Eric is going in tomorrow to have one of his kidneys removed. And, you know, disease is not from the Lord. This isn't the Lord trying to teach you a lesson, teach you patience. No, the Lord wants to heal your body. I believe he does. I believe that's what the Lord wants. I don't believe the Lord casts sickness on his people. So we're going to believe together, Eric. And everyone around here is going to believe with me that the Lord's still the great physician. That's what we've been praising for, right? So go ahead and raise your hand before the Lord. Could you come over here and just put your hands on his back? I remember from wrestling that's a kidney shot. So right there. So go ahead and put your hands down there on his kidneys. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you. We don't have to pray that you'll... If it's your will to heal Eric, because we already know through the word it is. So we just begin to claim it in Jesus' name right now. We claim healing in his body, complete and utter healing in his body. There will be no problems and no issues with his body after this day. And I pray tomorrow that when he goes to the doctor and sees and gets to the doctor and they see what's going on, Lord, that they'll be blown away by the healing, miraculous power of Jesus Christ. Be with this family. Thank you, Lord, that Father, we see, Father, that the enemy is trying to take them out. There's something going on here, Lord, that is just not of God. And we believe we come against it in Jesus' name. We cancel the assignment of the enemy and we curse him back to hell. And we believe that he has to send a report to the devil himself saying they failed in Jesus' name, because the power of God is all over this couple. I pray for freedom. I pray pray for liberty and I pray for joy. God, I pray that faith will stir up, Lord, as they hear the word today. God, as they feel the presence of the Lord. Lord, we know that you are bigger than this, and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Don't even know you, but I do. Praise God. Come on, give your hand. Clap by praise. That's good. Before you're seated, I don't know how many who have heard of that horrific tragedy with a duck boat in Missouri. Have anybody heard about that? I think like 15 people or 14 people lost their life, including one woman who lost 9 of her family members in that one tragedy. That's what I'm looking for right there. Pastor Ward is out today preaching in Rhode Island, and the pastor of that church is the driver's son-in-law. And they're very connected, and so that church is hurting, even though it's not in the same state, but there's a very strong connection. And so isn't it just like the Lord that he put someone at the right place at the right time to bring healing to people that need it? So we're going to pray for him and pray for the rest of the service, but I want us just to reach out and just believe that the Lord is going to use Pastor to bring just hope and healing to a congregation in need today. Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you, God, that you are a big and mighty God. And here we are in central Maine, worshiping Jesus, enjoying life, enjoying things. But there's people in other parts of this country, like in Missouri or even in Rhode Island, where Pastor is, that are hurting today because of a tragedy. God, we don't know the reasons why these things happen other than accidents. But we believe in a God who brings hope and peace to people who are hurting today. I pray that you will use our pastor. You will keep him safe. But God, you will give him a word that doesn't confound the wise with wise words. But God will just bring peace and healing because it's from the Holy Spirit. I pray the Holy Spirit would speak through him in such a mighty way, Father, that the peace of God that passes understanding would come upon people. And Father, it would be an incredible moment of healing today. Lord, I pray you'll be with every family member all across this country that's been affected by this. That God, that the devil would try to take more people out, make more people fall into depression and to fear and to worry. But God, we don't believe that that's your plan. We believe, God, you're going to bring something beauty for these ashes, I pray. I pray, God, for healing on people, and I pray for souls for people. In Jesus' mighty name. God, I think 14 or 15 passed away. And God, I pray that for every one, God, we'll see 10 come to know Jesus. Because that's how you operate. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you pour your arms around those people who are hurting today. Just like there's many in this room today that are hurting, I pray that the love of God would surround all pain, all suffering, all worry, all fear, all depression, and you will bring a great amount of healing and peace in Jesus' mighty name. I pray you'll be with us as we go about the service, that lives will be changed and people will get saved. And Lord, things will be different for everybody in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody give a good, strong amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise as you have a seat today. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming to church. And no, I didn't get changed in the dark today. I chose to wear a tie. I knew Jackie would like it, and Lois. Those two are, they're the girls I want to tell me I'm good looking. After her, of course. When I come to church and they see me, they're like, "You look so good." I'm like, "I should do this more often." But my wife and I get to do something very exciting this week. We're going to the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada family camp, and we're doing worship, and I'm preaching all the night services this week. So starting tonight, I'm going to be preaching tonight here, and then all the way through next Sunday, so I'm going to be doing 8 services in a row. Woo! Come on. So pray for us, because this is new for us, but I'm excited. I believe the Lord is going to do great things. But I want to thank everybody for coming to church today. I want to welcome our online audience. Thank you guys for joining us. This service is for you as well. And if the Lord ever does something for you while you're watching online, please let us know. Send us an email, message us on Facebook. We want to know so we can celebrate God's goodness with you as well. If you are a visitor, we want you to take a moment and take the card in front of you. It's a contact card. We just want you to fill it out, put it in the offering plate, which is coming back, offering bucket, which is coming back In just a few minutes, we want to get your information, not so we can sell it to creditors or, not creditors, that's the wrong one, telemarketers, you know. We don't want to do that. We just want to contact you and see how you like the service, see if there's anything we can pray for you, and hopefully get you connected to what God's doing here. So you just go ahead and put that in. Also, if you have been coming here for a while and you're interested in being more connected, I believe there's a Next Steps card right in front of you as well. Fill that out, put it in the offering, and we will be in contact with you as well. I open my phone with my face. Just saying. I'm sorry. I just get distracted. We got a few things coming up here, starting off with August 4th. Saturday, August 4th, we have this cool thing called Biking for Haiti. And what it is the Kids on the Move, they are raising money to send to a church in Haiti where they are going to be building a church and a food service distribution center. And the youth ministries of the church, starting, I believe, from Kids on the Move all up to Soul Fire, even Elevate's involved in this, right, Tim? Elevate's involved in this. We're raising $12,000, and that $12,000 is going to be matched by another $12,000, which is pretty exciting. And so on the 4th of August, the kids are going to be going up to the Faith School of Theology, I'm sorry, Faith Bible College International, and they're going to be biking and having a lot of fun. So until then, if you see little kids coming up to you and saying, "Could you give me money for Haiti?" they're not pulling a fast one over you. They're not just looking for money to buy games or something. They are actually raising money. So please be generous because the Lord will help you. Also, the next Saturday on August 11th, I believe the middle school, high school, and even some Elevate people are going to be going to either Katahdin or Boorstown, where we will be hiking for Haiti. And so also we're raising money as well. I believe we're going to blow that $12,000 amount out of the water. Amen? And we're going to be able to do more for them than we wanted. So please keep that in prayer and be part of that as well. Also, coming this August, which is just around the corner, can you believe it? Just around the corner, August. Whew! 2018 is flying by. But in August, we have our Empowering Education School Drive. One of the greatest things we do as a church, you do as a church, is every week you bring school supplies for kids and students and school classrooms that just don't have what they need. How many know that there's not an overabundance of money in school districts these days? That's where we come in as the body of Christ. We bridge the gap because we know the supplier of all our needs. And when we bring in school supplies from pencils to pens, erasers, binders, I call them scribblers because I'm from Canada, but notebooks and backpacks and everything, you'll have a list. Bring in as much as you can. The Lord will bless you for it, and these kids will love it. I tell you, when we bring these things to the school loves us. You are loved by the public school system. Isn't that amazing? You are loved. This church has a great name because of people like you. So let's do that together. Also, finally, one other thing. There's the Moms of Faith Barbecue. It is August 9th. I believe that's at Derice Washburn's camp. So if you want to sign up for that, head to cchurch11a.info. for sign up, and we'd love to get you there. All right, that's an awful lot of announcements, isn't it? It's okay, that's the best part of the service. Ushers, if you could come on down and get ready to take up the offering. Heather, give me a little bit of tunes there. People like to give when you play. You just have the anointing on your fingers. I tell you, you guys can come on right down when you're ready. Willie Furge, it is so great to see you. Isn't it great to see Willie here today? The Lord's doing a work in him. You know, I tell you, the Lord is so good, and it's so good to give to the Lord. I've found that every time the Lord has challenged me to give above and beyond my tithe, and I obeyed him, that the Lord responded almost immediately. And I want to tell you something, that if you just are faithful in giving to the Lord, sowing into God's kingdom, there comes a harvest for you. You will reap a harvest. But I want to tell you something. When you sow into our church and you give to our church, you're not giving to just make our lives better on staff. You're making to build the kingdom. Everything you put into these offerings helps to further the gospel, to see people saved. And that's something exciting. We've seen people all over this community get saved. We've seen people in the other side of the world get saved and everywhere in between. But it's only because you understand God loves a cheerful giver. And God blesses those who bless others. So let's just be thankful, be excited as we give today. Father, we thank you so much that you've made a way in people's lives. You've made a way in the lives of many today. And I pray that we will stand up in faith and believe, God, with every gift we give to the Lord, as we give our tithe, which belongs to you anyway, and we give our offerings, God. I know, Father, that you're gonna come beside us and work with us and make things happen. Father, we are going to have more than enough, not to just make things more comfortable, but God, to build the kingdom. God, to see more people saved and lives changed. I pray you'll bless everybody today as they give, that your hand will be upon them mightily in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord as you give.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Even when I don't feel it.
when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, never stop working.
Right now I want you all to just lift your hands. This song has been in my spirit all week long. And this is what I'm going to be talking about today. That even when you don't see it, even when right now you might be in a hard time, you might be sick in your body, but what you need to get into your spirit this morning is that even when you don't see it, Jesus is working on you. Even when you don't feel it, Jesus is working. So if that is you here this morning and you're maybe sick in your body, maybe you're anxious, or maybe you're struggling with depression, right now I want you to lift up your hands and I want you to sing with your mouth this song, that no matter what you're going through, Jesus is working on your behalf. Come on, let's sing it. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Come on, sing it one more time. Sing it one more time. Come on.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Come on, sing that out. Be bold. Be bold. I'm going to pray for you. Lift your hands. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for every single person that is in this room. God, if they have sickness in their body, Lord, we cast that out now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak against any depression, any anxiety, anything that is going on in the mind. Lord, we call it gone right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray for finances in this place. God, we know that you are our provider. Lord, I pray right now that you will just move on every single person that is here on their behalf. And Lord, now we say thank you for what you're going to do. Come on, begin to thank him right now. In his presence, miracles are happening right now. The Spirit of the Lord is here right now. You have to be bold in your faith and speak what Jesus says in his word over your life right now. Begin to thank him with your own words. Thank you, Father, that I am not going to live a life of fear anymore, but I'm going to be fearless. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not going to live a life of doubt, but Lord, you're going to bring peace to me right now. God, I thank you. I praise your mighty name. It's the name that is above every other name. God, we thank you for how you are going to move in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, confession equals possession. Confession equals possession. I know it's kind of like a tongue twister. Amen. God is here. Amen. Amen. I know I'm not Pastor Ward, so I'm sorry. But come back next time, and I'm sure he'll have an amazing message like always. But for those of you that do not know me, my name is Kelly Bean, and I've been the children's pastor here for, well, many, many years now. So I don't like to say a number anymore because then it ages me. But anyway, I've been here for a long time. And my position has just recently changed. I am now the youth director, so I'm going to be overseeing the nursery all the way up to the seniors in high school. So that's exciting. I'm excited because when I first started in ministry, my husband and I were actually the youth pastors here before Paul and Heather. So now it's like I'm going back into teenage world again, which is exciting. How many of you have a teenager? Woo! Aren't they fun? I have recently entered having a teenager in my home. And I'm just going to leave it there. No, he's awesome. He's good, but it's different. But it's good. It's good. Well, today I'm going to be talking about what it means and how powerful our words are. Our words are very powerful. What we confess with our mouth is very important. And so I want to just start and do a little bit of groundwork here for a few minutes. So if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9. And I'm going to read, I think this one is up on the screen. And I'm going to read you a few others that I'll just kind of read to you that you won't have to open up to. But I want to show you that this isn't just Kelly speaking. That what I am going to share with you this morning comes directly from the Word of God. That we need to line up our words, the words that we allow out of our mouth, with what the Word of God has to say. Amen? That's very important. So verse 9 says this. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see here that confession is made to salvation. There's no such thing as salvation without confession. Is everybody with me on that? I want us to really understand that. That there is no such thing as salvation without confession. It's always confession to salvation. Never possession without confession. Okay? Confession has to come first before you receive that possession. You must receive Jesus Christ in your life in order for what I'm going to be speaking about today to be a benefit to you. Because that's the first thing that we just read. You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you do that, you are saved. So maybe you're sitting here today and you say, well, I've never done that. This isn't even going to apply to me. Well, what I want to just tell you and encourage you right now is that as I'm speaking about this, and I believe very strongly there are people here today, that once you really get a hold of this, it is going to change your life. And if you want this, then at the end, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask the Lord into your heart. And I'm going to have you meet me down here this morning. So if that's you, you can feel the presence of God here. You know that there's something different. I just encourage you that when I make that altar call in just a little bit, that you meet me down here and that we will pray. So confession in the Greek is translated to the word profession, which means saying the same thing. So when you translate that word from the Greek, it means profession, which means saying the same thing. So what does that mean? I'm so glad you asked, because I have the answer for you. This is what it means, that every believer needs to agree with what God says in his word for your testimony. You have to believe what the word of God says. You have to say the same thing over your life that Jesus Christ says over you. You find that in the Word of God. Confession is saying what is in the heart and it comes out of your mouth. What's in your heart when you confess, it comes out of your mouth. So I want to just read you a couple scriptures real quick. Hebrews 3:1. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read them for you. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, thoughtfully and attentively consider the apostle and high priest whom we have confessed. So this is telling us that Jesus is the high priest to our confession. When we confess his words, then our high priest, Jesus Christ, acts on your behalf according to your confession. That is powerful. Have you ever heard this scripture? I say it all the time to my kids. It's in Proverbs 18:21, that life and what? Death are in the power of the tongue. You might not realize how important your words actually are. Proverbs 6:2 says this, "You are snared, you are trapped with the words of your mouth. You are taken captive with the words of your mouth." You know what that means? That means that we have to be very certain that we are speaking what God says about us and about our situations. I want you to hear me this morning about this, because you need to begin to speak what God says about you, about your failures that maybe you've had, about your health, about your salvation, about your victories, or about anything else that is going on in your life. In other words, you have to testify or acknowledge what God says about you. Now listen, sometimes we're our own worst enemy. Sometimes we'll say things over ourselves that is not the truth. That is not what God says. God does not say that you have to live in fear. He does not say that you have to live defeated. You cannot speak that out of your mouth. You have to line up your words with what the Word of God says about you and for you. And it makes a difference. Now, let's be real here. Do you think that's what the enemy wants us to know? Do you think he wants us to fully get a grasp of this, that we, you know, we'll pause and kind of rethink what we were going to say because we don't want to let that thing come out of our mouth? No, he wants you to live defeated. That's what the enemy wants for you. He wants you to live a life in fear and kind of tiptoe around whatever it is that you might be facing. He wants you to be sick. Do you understand what I'm saying? That Satan does not want you to be healed. He wants to stop anything that you might want to do to be effective for the Lord and for the kingdom. So you have to understand that Jesus wants all good things for you, but you have an enemy that does not want good things for you. And sometimes you can allow the enemy's voice to be louder than the Lord's voice, and you begin to speak the things that you're seeing in the natural. But what I want to help you to understand and to see, that even though, like I said and like we sang, even though you don't see it right now, I mean, you might be sitting here right now in your seat, and maybe you have just found out a diagnosis over your body. Maybe you're sitting here and you're just not feeling good, so you're thinking, how can I speak that if this is how I'm feeling? Well, that's where getting into the Word of God and finding scriptures that line up with what it is that you are facing, and you claim them over your life. You don't just read it and say, oh, by Jesus' stripes I am healed. No, you speak boldly. By Jesus' stripes I am healed. And even though you might not see it right now, you begin to confess it with your mouth. The words that are coming out of your mouth line up with the scriptures, and I'm telling you, you are going to see a difference in your body, in your mind, in your life, in your home, in your relationships. I'm telling you, you just be careful what you allow out of your mouth. If you are sick and you're not feeling well, you can quote Exodus 23:25. It says that he takes all sicknesses out of the midst of you, and that he promises to heal all of your diseases. And like I said, by his stripes, you are healed. In Jesus' name, you need to speak what the Word of God has to say about you and about your situation. And so I want to take you to Matthew chapter 4. So if you would turn there with me this morning, I'm going to read you verse 1 to 11. And I want to show you what Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness. Are you there? Amen. Okay, let's start in chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted, and he became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread.' But Jesus told him, 'No.'" Say it with me. "The scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands, so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." But Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God." Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you kneel down and worship me." "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil went away, and the angels came and took care of Jesus. I am telling you, Jesus fought with the scriptures. It is time for us to fight like Jesus fought. Do not give in to that struggle. Do not give in to that disease. Do not give in to those temptations. I'm telling you, you go to the Word of God, and whatever it is that you are fighting, you find your answer here. You don't have to Google it online. You don't even have to go to your friend. You go to the scriptures. How many of us could say that there's been some point in your life that you, the first thing you did was not turn to the Word of God? You might have went to the doctor. You might have went online. You might have tried to figure out your diagnosis on your own. But I'm here this morning to remind you that just like Jesus fought when Satan was tempting him, it's time for us to get into the Word of God. I say this almost every time I preach, and I don't think I'll ever stop saying it. But whatever it is that you are struggling with, you go to the Word and you find five scriptures minimum. And you write them down in your journal. You write them down on a post-it note. You write them down on a piece of paper, fold it up and put it in your pocket, and you take it with you wherever you go. If you start to feel sick, you take out that paper and you find all the notes that you have studied and that you have on that paper, and you remind yourself that you don't have to be sick. You remind yourself that your mind doesn't have to be anxious and full of fear and doubt or whatever it may be. You go to the Word. And you find out what the Word of God says about you and for you. And I'm telling you, you will look at things differently. Amen? Under all circumstances, at all times, you speak God's language. You speak the Word of God. In order to do this, you know, I was talking to my sister this morning, and we were talking about what I was going to be speaking on, and I was sharing it with her, and, you know, it came to her mind very quickly of how powerful this is. If we really get this into our spirits, you're going to notice that when you go to react one way, you're going to stop yourself. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you and prompt you and remind you, don't say that. But how does that go for the people that maybe we work with? The people that we're in contact with all the time? Maybe they say that they go to church and you know, they receive from the Lord, but then the next day at work they're talking about how they don't know how they're ever going to make it through the day. They don't know how they're going to make their payments. You know, there's certain things that we have to do, because you cannot confess what you do not know, right? You have to know in order to be able to speak these things that I'm talking about, you have to know them. So that means you have got to dig into the scriptures. You have got to take that time to read the Word of God. You have to take that time to build your faith. So the Lord gave me three things that I want to share with you that is a way that we can increase our faith. The first one is you have to fill yourself up with the Word. You have to spend time in the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." It doesn't say that you pray, "Lord, give me faith." It says that the faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So sitting here right now, you're hearing the word of God. You're building up your faith. When you're in the word, you're building up your faith. You have to learn to be able to do that. I love Joshua 1:8 where it says, keep the word of God ever before you. Meditate on it day and night. You see, the word of God brings power. It's powerful for you. It's powerful for me. It holds the answers to all the questions that you may have. It's not just words on a page. I'm telling you, when you read the Bible, it's different than when you get into, what are they called? Novels? I don't really read. Is that what you call them? Books? It's different. Anyway, if you're reading a love story or something about cowboys, it's different than what you are going to get from the word of God, right? It's different. John 6:63 says that the words I have spoken, they are spirit and they are life. When you are filled with the word, the faith that you have on the inside, it grows when you feed your faith with the word. So first of all, you've got to fill yourself up with the word of God. Second, you have to understand. You have to understand what it is that you're reading. Now, I'm going to confess that there's been times where I've read a scripture and I didn't get it. Has that ever happened to anybody else before? You read it and then you reread it and then you read it again. And then, so, you know, some days I might, you know, be able to read several chapters. Other days I might get through like one verse or two verses, because when I read the word, I want to understand it. I want to understand what it's saying, what it means for me. And I'll go to my study Bible. I have a Dake Bible that I do a lot of studying in. And I like to break this down so that I understand what it is that I am reading. And I think that is really important for all of us to be able to fill our faith, is not only to read the word, but to understand what it is that we are reading. When we believe what God says in his word, when we have that understanding that he can fulfill the promises, even though you might not see them materializing yet, it is then that you are demonstrating your true faith. So first of all, you got to get into the word. Number two, you need to understand it. And number three, you've got to work the word. What does that mean? That means that once you've read it, once you understand it, then it's time to get to work. It's time to apply it to your life. You're not only just knowing it now, but you're actually using it. You see what God tells you to do, and you begin to do it. I love this quote by Pastor David Odiepo. It says this, faith is not waiting for God to work, but it's by putting God's word to work. Exercise your faith. Cause it to grow. And it takes work. I mean, if you go into the gym and you go to exercise and those big dudes are walking around with, you know, their muscle shirts and all that cool stuff that they do, and they're lifting the weights. Yeah, anybody seen those guys do that? They think they're really awesome. So it's kind of funny to watch them. But you can't sit there on the chair and expect their work to benefit you. You cannot expect your muscles to just, you're like, whoa, those are getting really big, and I'm just sitting here eating nachos and cheese or whatever. That does not work, right? You have to put in the work. You have got to get to work with this. So once you've understood it, once you've filled yourself up with it, you've understood it, now you begin to work the word over your life. You do those three things, and when you come to a struggle, when you come to a position that you're not sure how you're going to get out, because it's so in you, you're going to notice that you respond differently to the situations that you have before you. Maybe in the past you got worried and you got fearful, but now you're so full of the word of God that you're going to begin to speak it. I'm telling you, it happens to me. And I stop myself. Or my husband reminds me, watch your confession. Watch your confession. And it's so true. You have got to speak life over your situation. Amen? Now I want to share a personal story of when this actually happened for me. And I haven't told this story to a lot of people, but I'm going to just give you a little picture of what happened. But it was a couple years ago that I got very sick. And I actually ended up in an ambulance in the emergency room. I didn't know what was going on. My body was shaking. I found out actually once I got there that I had like the influenza, one of those things, B or A. And I was very dehydrated. And so I remember when I got there, all the doctors were like wearing these masks because like they couldn't be near me and I couldn't, like they wouldn't let me leave. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here? I did not feel good. I knew that. So it was in that moment that my mind started to play games on me. Oh, like you've never felt this sick before. Probably, you know, who knows what's going on. You don't know what that diagnosis is going to be. And I became a little bit fearful in that moment because I didn't know what was happening. Finally, they found out that I did have the flu. They gave me a lot of fluid, and then they sent me home on my way. But when I got home, I still wasn't feeling good. And I remember laying in my bed, and I kept going back to that moment when that happened to me, when that attack came on my body. Because it was scary. My body was trembling. I didn't know what I needed to do. And I remember that it got to the point where I was starting to shake. I was starting to have that stuff all over again. And it was just like that, that the Lord just kind of showed me, this is an attack of the enemy on you. And are you going to let it happen or are you going to speak to it? And it was right then that I figured this all out. So this has been going on for me for a long time, that I needed to fill myself up with the word. And I was, but I wasn't doing it as much as I should. So I did it every night. And just like that scripture, I meditate on it day and night, all through the day. I listened to preaching. I listened to anything that I could to just build up my faith. And then I remember that I had got better. I had got better, but then some time passed, and then I didn't feel good again, and my mind took me right back to that day. I hadn't thought about it in forever, but it took me right back to that moment, and my mind was telling me, oh, you're probably going to get really sick again. But I had filled myself up so much with the Word of God that when I began to even think about that, I was just so full. I was running on an overflow at this point. So I knew how to fight it. I knew that I needed to get into the Word of God. And I found scriptures. I have them in my closet still to this day, all over around my mirror that I look at those. I put post-it notes everywhere. If you like post-its, I'm telling you, use them. Put them to work. Put them around your mirror. Put them in your kitchen. Put them in your kids' bedrooms to remind yourself that you don't have to live with struggle. You don't have to live with sickness. You don't have to live with disease. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to be anxious. Why? Because the Word of God speaks life over you. Whatever it is that you are struggling with right now here today, I'm telling you, you speak the Word of God over it and you will see it change. Do not allow anything negative to come out of your mouth. You speak what God says about you. For me, the scripture that pulled me out that I go to all the time is 2 Corinthians 10:4. And it stood out to me because sometimes when you read, has this ever happened? And the Holy Spirit just kind of, it looks like it's the only thing on the page or it sticks out to you. And this is what stuck out to me. In my struggle, it said that we use God's mighty weapons, not mere worldly weapons, to knock down the devil's stronghold. I'm telling you, when I began to do that, and I was speaking in tongues, and I was claiming healing over my body, the shakiness stopped. I'm telling you, it stopped. It didn't last like any time. It stopped. Why? Because I knew how to fight. It's time for us to realize that when you are saved, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it's inside of you. You can walk with authority. You can walk with a boldness. You do not have to give up. You remind Satan where he belongs. It's not in front of you. It's behind you. He's under your feet, and you've got to speak that in Jesus' name. Amen. Last night, I was thinking about this, and I love when the Holy Spirit gives me just an illustration. So I wanted to just show it to you, what I'm talking about, how you can fight this. So I need four guys. I meant to ask you earlier, but Ethan, Jordan, you three right there, and Bryce. Actually, no, I only need three. Bryce, you're off the hook. He's like, oh, man. Okay. Could you guys do me a favor and just line up in a straight line right down here? Okay. So this is your stuff. You can face me like you're a choo-choo train. Woohoo! You can tell I work with kids, right? So here's me. Okay, and here are some of the different things that maybe I've been struggling with or we struggle with. And before you have got the Word of God in your spirit, I mean, you're reading it, you're doing the three things I said. You're reading it, you're understanding it, and you're beginning to work it. Before that, this is how you would kind of handle your struggle. You would see this sickness come on your body, and you would kind of tiptoe around it, and you would begin to speak, oh, I'm not feeling good. I got a headache. I got to stay home. You begin to speak that, and you kind of tiptoe around it. And then you come to go to face your bills. You know, I know that's a real struggle for some of us, getting those bills paid, providing for our children. So you get to this, and you see that mountain that seems so difficult and so hard, but you don't really speak to it yet because you haven't filled yourself up. So you kind of tiptoe around it, you kind of are fearful, and then you get over here, and you are sickness, you are finances, and what are you? What's another struggle? How about fear, depression, anxiety? And you know you're struggling. You know that you're having a difficult time, but you haven't learned yet to really speak to it. So you kind of just go to your room. You lie in bed. You pull the blanket over your face. You close the curtains, whatever it is, and you kind of just tiptoe around it. But what I am telling you today, right now, is you don't have to tiptoe around your problem any longer. I am telling you, if you are a child of God, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have to tiptoe around your problem anymore. You confess. You use your mouth. You allow the words that are coming out of your mouth to line up with the Word of God. And when you come to that sickness, you're reminded that it has to flee. That sickness is removed from me. Why? Because that's what the Word of God says. You come to those finances, those problems, you say, Lord, you are my El Shaddai. You are more than enough. I am above and not below. That you fill my storehouses with grain and you kick that thing out of the way. You stand boldly and you speak to that fear, to that anxiety, that the Lord does not bring fear, but he brings power. He brings love and he brings a sound mind and you speak. Thank you. You can leave. You speak with authority right now in Jesus' name. That's what God can do for you. That is powerful. That's where we get the victory. I mean, we should be excited about this. This is where our possession comes in. We begin to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you don't have to struggle with sickness and disease, that he will take care of your finances. You speak to those mountains, and you command them to leave. You don't say, oh, you know, it would be really nice if this would go away. No, you speak boldly with the authority of Christ that you have on the inside of you, and you tell it to leave and get behind you. Remind the enemy that he is under your feet. Remind him of that. Go through your home. Go through your home and claim the name of Jesus. I do it all the time. My kids don't even get alarmed anymore. The first few times they're like, what in the world is she doing? But you know what? I go right through my home And I take that bottle of oil and I slab it everywhere I go. I put it on the doorpost and I put it on the windows. I put it on my mailbox. I've gone around my entire home. I didn't care who was looking at me. Why? Because I know that Jesus is for me and not against me. And any struggle that he's going to try to attack me or my husband or my boys with, I speak against it in Jesus' name. Now, I want to just give you a quick example before I start to close this out. But I've been reading an amazing book by T.L. Osborne. And it gives a great illustration of sometimes how this can be a struggle for people to speak what the Bible says, but you're not seeing it. You're not seeing it. You're feeling those symptoms. You're seeing those bills come in the mail. But it's talking about that no matter what, even when you're not seeing what the Bible says is going to happen, you have to believe it with your heart and you have to confess it. So I want to just give you an example. He tells of a time that he asked for prayer for a person who was very sick and weak. The man he prayed for felt no immediate results. He then asked him to repeat what God said. By his stripes, I am healed, and to praise the Lord for helping according to his word. The man considered his request to be an outright hypocrisy. He was quick to let him know that he did not believe in testifying to something he did not have. He said he was sincere and that he would never act the part of a hypocrite. The man was measuring his healing by his feelings. That is not faith. It is not hypocritical to say what God says. Confession of a promise given to us in the Word of God, when confessed from the heart, always brings the possession. I want you to hear this part. He said that he did not ask this man to say that he was not sick, but he did ask him to say what God said. To acknowledge the Word of God, that with his stripes, I am healed. You are not a liar because you declare what God has spoken. And you really need to get that, because maybe you've struggled with that. Maybe you've thought about that. Well, you know, maybe you're frustrated because you don't see the results yet. But you can never, ever speak against the Word of God, no matter what you are seeing. Even if you are feeling very sick, you continue to speak the Word of God over your life. That is not lying. That is standing on the truth. That is standing on the Word of God. Musicians, if you want to come up, I'm going to get ready to close. But when you begin to speak about that problem, when you begin to talk about that anxiety or that depression or that fear or that doubt, you know what happens is that you're giving that disease, you're giving that thing that you struggle with the upper hand. You're giving it the upper hand. Confessing pains, aches, and diseases, listen to this, is like signing for a package that the post office has delivered. Satan then has a receipt, your confession, from you, showing that you have accepted the package. It's like when the post office comes to your house and you've gotten a delivery and you sign for it. You have to visualize that as Satan has showed up at your home with all this stuff and you signed for it. And he's left your home with a receipt saying, well, she said it. She spoke it. You're giving that disease, that symptom, the upper hand. But you do not accept anything from the devil. You did not accept that, even though you're currently experiencing maybe something really difficult. And I'm not minimizing that. But all I'm saying is that in the struggle, Jesus Christ is still Lord. He's still greater. He brings good things to you. Every good thing comes from the Father. He wants you to hear that today. You don't have to struggle and give in to that anymore. I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this, you're going to go home and you're going to notice a difference. As you begin to fill yourself up with the Word and you understand it and you put it to work, you're going to be faced with something that you normally would give in to. You say, oh, here we go again. But no, you're not going to say that. You're going to say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and that you can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives you strength. I'm speaking to somebody here today that you can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives you strength. I don't know what the mountain is that you're facing in your life right now. Maybe what's standing in your way of progress, what's standing in your way, what's holding you back from fulfilling the plan that God has for you. But I'm telling you this morning that you need to speak the word of God over your mountain. You speak the word of God over your mountain and what it is. You speak to the devil. You speak to his forces and you tell them to get out of your affairs in the mighty name of Jesus. I want you to speak to that sickness that you are experiencing in your body and you tell it that it cannot stay. I want you to speak to the debt and to the financial lack and tell them to be removed out of your life. And speak to that doubt. Speak to that fear. Speak to that worry and tell them to be gone in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We watch what we confess and you see by the grace of God and how good he is. When you watch what comes out of your mouth and you line it up with the word of God, you just wait to see what you are going to receive. It is good. It is good. You're going to walk differently. You're going to have a confidence. Listen, you carry the power of God on the inside of you. You don't have to walk around with, you know, a sad face. And no, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's time to put your shoulders back and your head up high. And you look that thing in the face, eye to eye, nose to nose, and you tell it to go. It can no longer have a hold on you in Jesus' name. Amen. So right now, all over this place, if you just bow your heads and close your eyes, like I said earlier, I want to give that opportunity because maybe you're sitting here and you say, wow, I've been struggling. I've been doing the same thing over and over and over again. But that's not what God has for you. But first, like I spoke at the very beginning, you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You need to come to these altars. Meet me here. I'll pray for you. You ask the Lord to come into your life to forgive you of your sins. And I'm telling you, when you put this to work, what you've heard this morning, you're going to see God do amazing things in your life and in your family. So without hesitation, if that is you here this morning, without any fear, I want you to come out of your seat and meet me right here this morning. Come on, it only takes one without fear. Without doubt, to come down here and to meet me this morning. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. So come down. We have to confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. So if that's you, if you feel that feeling that you want to get out of your seat, but you're just not sure, I'm telling you, do it today. Do it now. Today is your day. You are not here by accident. You are here for a reason. So I want you to come down, and I am going to pray for you. I am going to pray, and we're going to ask Jesus to come into your heart to forgive you of your sins. Come on, let's give a hand clap for all these people that are coming down this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. We worship you. You can meet me right down here. I'm proud of you. What's your name? Isabella. And I met you in the hallway this morning, didn't I? Amen. Well, come over here. We're gonna pray. I'm gonna have you repeat this prayer after me. Okay? All right, let's do this family style. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins, to set me free, to cleanse me, to wash me. Lord, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I ask you to become the Lord of my life, to forgive me of all of my sins. I thank you that you died for me and that you're coming back again. I am saved. I thank you, Jesus, that I'm going to be in heaven with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to pray, Lord, I pray for these individuals right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I thank you that they came down and they confessed with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, I thank you that any struggle that they may have had or may have right now, that in the name of Jesus, it is broken. Right now, in Jesus' name, that they're looking ahead, they're looking forward, they're going to fill themselves up with the Word of God. Lord, that they're going to make sure that they understand it, and then they're going to work it. So, Lord, I thank you for how you are going to use them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I think we have a few altar workers. They're going to sing here this morning, but I want any person, maybe all of us, it'd be awesome if we all could come and end in the altar in prayer. But listen, right now, fear has to bow at the name of Jesus. Right now, sicknesses and disease has to bow at the name of Jesus. I'm not sure what that mountain is for you, but if you want to come down here and pray and just leave it, surrender it right now to Jesus Christ. I want you to get up and come down. We're going to pray together, end in the altar. And come on, come right down and sing with them as they begin to sing this song.